When my daughter was born, a family friend gave us a children's book by Robert Munsch called Love You Forever. If you are familiar with this book, you may recall the several illustrations of grown adults with ladders in the middle of the night, sneaking into each other's houses to rock each other like babies. It's pretty creepy. I occasionally wondered if our friend gave us this book in order to drum up some business, some future business for his psychotherapy practice. But it is a very popular book, and it's not hard to understand why. The book speaks to a fundamental question of childhood. Am I loved? When I hear my children arguing with each other or with their peers, they don't kid around. The various insults and remarks they make are all aimed at a single vulnerable point. They want to say, "You aren't loved. You are worthless." And this isn't just a childhood question, is it? Am I loved? Or in a more guarded, less sentimental phrase, am I worthy? Are questions that continue to haunt us throughout life. Or at least they have my first 40 years. Please let me know if I can look forward to outgrowing these. In today's gospel, we see this question at the core of Jesus' conversation with a woman he meets at a well in Samaria. Jesus is traveling to Galilee, and he is following the shortest route, which takes him through Samaria. Jews always found this part of the trip distasteful. It was the place where they would have locked their car doors if they had cars. Certainly they wouldn't stop at the rest area in Samaria. Racial and religious prejudices ran strong. Jewishness was about maintaining a certain racial and religious identity with very clear boundaries. Samaritans were particularly abhorrent because they were partly Jewish, both in race and religious practice, and they blurred those boundaries that the religious folks wanted to see clear and bright. So the Samaritans were the object of special opprobrium. So Jesus, the Jewish man, quickly gaining a reputation as a holy man or a religious teacher, finds himself in Samaria about the middle of the day and decides to take a breather. He sends his disciples off to find food, and he remains alone at the well. A woman comes out to draw water. The Eastern Church gave her the name Photini. Photini comes to draw water at the time of day when most sensible women remained indoors in the shade. When she finds Jesus there at the well, that's surprising enough. But then Jesus speaks to Photini, and not only speaks, but asks to drink from her bucket. This would be an uncomfortable situation in any event. This conversation is laced with sexual tension and danger for Photini. Jesus was transgressing significant cultural taboos. Certainly, Photini was surprised. Did she feel threatened? Photini knew her place in society's scheme of prejudices, and she knew that this man had no business speaking to her. She was not worthy. It was impossible that this person could show love toward her. And yet, she chose to engage in the conversation. She was curious, receptive. Jesus starts the conversation in a very incarnational manner. He makes a request that would have made sense to Photini, but he quickly moves the conversation to an offer of living water. When Photini finally takes the bait and says, "Sir, give me this water, that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water," Jesus immediately confronts her with her questionable sexual history. She has been married 5 times and is presently involved in an extramarital affair with a 6th man. Ouch! What does that have to do with anything? It's painful to hear Jesus confront her like this. It isn't very nice. It's certainly not polite. What's he up to? I think that what Jesus is touching here is both a source and a result of this woman's own search for answers to the questions, am I loved? Am I worthy? Marriages, friends, jobs, churches, these are all places where we come to look, where we all search for answers to these big questions. Am I loved? Am I worthy? And all of us are disappointed from time to time by the answers we find. Some of us, like Fotini, are profoundly disappointed. The wounds of rejection run deep. They sometimes constitute barriers to those very relationships, that very acceptance that we seek. Jesus didn't ignore Fotini's deepest hurts or politely tiptoe around them. Instead, like a surgeon, he stuck his finger on the sensitive spot and said, I'm here to fix this broken heart, these deepest wounds, this alienation and self-doubt. This is why I'm here. Even as Fotini reflexively turned the painful conversation to a less personal topic, asking about religious practices, Jesus stays the course. She asked which of the two places of worship was correct, an ongoing argument between Jews and Samaritans. Jesus replied that she was asking the wrong question. Neither place is what's important. Worship is a question of being, not doing. Fotini came to a well, but Jesus offered her a flowing spring. He said, you don't need to labor with your bucket. Just ask for the living water. You are worthy. You don't need to do all your religious things just so. God is the one who is seeking you. You are loved. You don't need to wait any longer for a Messiah to make things clear. I am here, says Jesus. I am present with you and for you. I thought of Fotini as I walked to the bus this week. I'm privileged to live on the edge of Whatcom Falls Park. I have to walk through the park to get to my bus stop, and I always utter a prayer of thanksgiving as I do so. My favorite part of the walk is the bridge over Whatcom Creek, just below the dam that regulates the water flowing out of Lake Whatcom. On rainy days when the creek is very high, I'm especially mesmerized by the vast quantities of our pure, delicious drinking water being poured recklessly down the creek, through town, and into the bay. It's not a huge creek, but it flows quickly and relentlessly, occasionally coming to falls where its power is all the more impressive. Sometimes I ask myself, am I worthy? Am I loved? And the creek helps me to remember that I'm asking the wrong question. Because God's love is like that water flowing down Whatcom Creek. I can cast my little questions into the creek, but they will just be carried away, drowned in the water, overwhelmed by the reckless outpouring of God's love for all creation. It's a love that is unstoppable. I can't grasp it, I can't contain it or save it for later. Instead, I have to let it flow and trust that there will always be more coming down behind it. No matter how thirsty I get, the river of God's love will always suffice to sate my thirst, hydrate my whole body, and be none diminished for what I have received. We have among us this season several catechumens, people who are in the process of opening themselves to transformation by the God who is seeking them. They are beginning to learn that they too are loved. They too are worthy. They are testing the waters. They are learning to trust in God's love and considering and trusting themselves to be drowned in it come Easter. Like Fotini, the first evangelist, we too are called to leave behind our buckets, our attempts to answer the big questions ourselves, and simply to ask God instead to give us that living water, which will engender inside each of us a living fountain that floods forth unquenchable. This is the message of Jesus Christ from start to finish. He was born into our world, he lived among us, and he died. He did this in order to communicate to us our worth, our belovedness. Romans 5 summarizes our Lenten hope by reminding us that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Amen.